we have been discussing the book or booklet about Al-A'mal Al-Qalbiyya, the deeds of the heart, by Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And we have covered the most of the introductory part of the book, in which Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah first indicates that people are of three levels in their actions, or Muslims are of three levels. One of them is ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ, and the second is مُقْتَصِدْ, and the third is سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ. ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ is the one who has done injustice to himself. He was not doing good enough, or he did very little good, and he did a lot of bad against himself. And مُقْتَصِدْ is the one who was like economical in what he did, which means he did something moderate. He didn't do much, he didn't do little, he did something in between. So he does the minimum required, but he does not try to go beyond that minimum. And the third level is سابق بالخيرات, the one who competes in doing good, which means competes with others. So these are among the سابقين بالخيرات. And this classification comes from the ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, or an ayah in which Allah gives these three levels of people. فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمُ لِنَفْسِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدُ وَمِنْهُمْ سَابِقٌ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. So these are the three levels of people. السَّابِقُ بِالْخَيْرَاتِ is the one who he الْمُتَقَرِّبُ بِمَا يَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ فَعْلٍ وَاجِبٍ وَمُسْتَحَبٍ وَالتَّارِكُ لِلْمُحَرَّمِ وَالْمَكْرُوهِ. So he is the best, of course, and all of us should, this should be our goal or aim for that, which is to be of this person who, of this type of, or class of people who, they come close to Allah Azza wa Jal with whatever they can of doing good. Doing what is required or what is recommended, the requirements and the recommended deeds, and who stay away from whatever, from Muharram, the prohibited and the disliked, makruh. And as you notice here, he says, the one who can do whatever he can of good or of wajib or of obligations or of recommended deeds, and who stays away, he didn't say from whatever he can of muharram and makruh, of prohibited and disliked actions, he didn't say that, but he said from all prohibited and disliked actions. And the reason for this is, or this is a common thing to say in Islam, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith, he explains that he says that فَمَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ أَوْ مَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. مَا نَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. He didn't say فَاجْتَنِبُوا مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. So whatever I prohibit for you, stay away from it. He didn't say stay away from as much as you can. He said from it. And وَمَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ, whatever I command you to do, فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Do of it as much as you can. So the positive actions, they are left to the ability, as much as a person can, because there is no upper limit. You can do according to your ability, your health, your wealth, etc., etc., your time. You can do more, you can do a certain level, and other people can do more, or you can improve on yourself depending on the change in your situation, and so on. So you do as much as you can. But for the prohibited things, which mean the negative action, you have to cease totally from doing it. You have to see, because all what it means is that don't do it. So there is no minimum to that, to to where, or maximum to where you can stop, as in the case of the positive actions. Because it means you don't do it, just don't do it. You do not need to do it, to take an action to do it, to not do it, okay? So, Allahu A'lam, that is why he says it like this here, taking the understanding from that hadith, that for the good deeds, for the muqtasid even, al-mu'addi al-wajibat wa tarik al-muharramat, which means he does the wajibat as much as he can still, because there are people who, for example, cannot stand in prayer even though it is wajib, so they have to sit. They cannot sit, they have to pray on their side, and so on. So we cannot say that they have left off a wajib, because to them the wajib has changed. Or you can say they left a wajib, but they are forgiven for that, they are excused for that. And tarik al-muharramat, so they do of the wajib as much as they can, but for the muharram they leave it off totally. This is for al-muqtasid. As for as-sabiq bil-khayrat, those who compete in doing good, they add to the wajib that they do, they also add the recommended deeds. And for the mustahab, for the prohibited things that they abstain from, they add to them makruh, the disliked things. And the more that a person does of that, of these recommended, and abstains from the disliked, the higher he mounts and rises in the levels of al-muqarrabin or al-sabiqin bil-khayrat, those who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed in the hadith al-Qudusi, وَلَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مَفْتَرَطُ عَلَيْهِ. My abd does not come close to me with anything more dear to me than that which I made an obligation on him. And then he continues to come to closer and closer to me by nawafil, by the voluntary deeds, until I love him. You have a question?
Yeah, can we add the hadith?
Yeah, you can say that too, that the people who are sabiq bil khayrat, they stay away from shubuhat. فَمَنْ يَتَّقَى الشُّبُهَاتِ فَقَدْ اسْتَبْرَأَ دِينِهِ وَعَرْضِهِ. Because the one who does that, he has purified his deen and his honor. And the one who falls into doubtful matters, then he eventually will fall into haram. So they are very careful to make, to perfect their deeds. Those are as-sabiquna bil-khayrat or al-muqarrabun. They are the ones who try to do the best. To do the best instead of doing average, getting average grade, they try to get the top grade. And as we said, these are the ones who attain the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the wilaya of Allah, that they become His awliya, His close beloved friends. So, after this introduction, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah tells us that, or indicates that this classification applies not only to the deeds of the body, but they also apply, this applies to the deeds of the heart. So, there are people who neglect totally the deeds of the heart, which will be, we have been explaining, and we will come over, go over very quickly. And some people who are average in doing them, and some people who compete in doing them to the best of their ability. For instance, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tawakkul Allah. There are some people who neglect it, and they seldom, even though they are Muslims, but they seldom make tawakkul on Allah. Even though tawakkul is an obligation, it's a fard, it's a wajib. One cannot, you know, be a true Muslim if he does not have full tawakkul on Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَتَوَكَّلُوا إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So if you are a believer, then rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have tawakkul on Allah. So there are people who do the minimum of tawakkul, or they do not do tawakkul except in some rare occasions or exceptional cases. There are others who do the minimum required, and there are others who make tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything, even things which to the average person they seem like things which do not require tawakkul. So they still rely on Allah. You know, like the hadith, one would say, how could that be? And, you know, I give an example in from another case where we make, you know, we ihtisab, or we seek the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for things. So there are people who, if there is a great calamity that happens to them, they say, I seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if they realize that they have done a major thing that they believe is correct and good and according to the sunnah, then they seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek ihtisab from Allah. There are people, so these are like the common people, but there are people who, with the small, for the smaller things, they make ihtisab, which means they expect and look for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like, for instance, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that let one of you seek the reward, or yastarja, which means say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, we belong to Allah and to Him we shall return, which is a form of ihtisab, which means I am saying that if something wrong happens to me, I remind myself, I declare that it's no problem because it is from Allah and to Him we belong. So one gets a reward for saying that. So the Prophet ﷺ says, let one of you make istirja fa yastirja hatta fi shas'in alayh, which means even if your slippers break or are cut or something, which means, you know, something in your shoes, something not important to many people, even if this happens, you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Hatta fi shawkati yushaku, and even if a thorn hits you, you say inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So when a person seeks the ihtisab, or looks for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the small things, that means he have ridden above the average level of people. Similarly, if he does even the smallest thing, like giving food to his wife, to his children, doing little acts of ihsan, of goodness, and he seeks the reward from Allah Azza wa Jal, then he'll be rewarded for it, and he increases in the levels of sabq bil khairat, of competing in good. Doesn't mean, of course, that one should, you know, boast about it and say, look, I have given food to my wife and children, or look, I have, even for the smallest thing, I'm saying istirja. No, but to himself, everything counts. He is accumulating of good. But for many people, this is, you know, giving food to the family is an instinctive thing, like the animals do it. So I am like the animals, I'm giving food to my family. And if they protect their family, it is like animals protect their families. No. If one does it with the belief in his heart that he's doing it for Allah Azza wa Jalla and seeking the word from Allah, then he is competing with others in khairat. So what I'm saying is that the people, even in the deeds of the heart like this, because it's something in the heart, even in these things, people divide into different classes according to how they do these deeds. Yeah, it's shoelace maybe. No, it's, well, actually the na'al, they are made of leather. Yeah, you can say shoelace, but it doesn't necessarily mean this tie that you tie the shoes with it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can say that. There was some discussion that we covered also that about the that a person could have a mixture of good and bad in him. So we cannot say that if a person is seems to be to a certain degree bad, that means that he is totally bad. Like we discussed, we had some discussion about some groups, some deviant groups, like the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila, who had wrong concept about committing sins. And we explained that no, a person could be a sinner, but he has some degree of goodness in him. And similarly to the actions of the body. So in the actions of the heart, he could, for example, do something, commit sins, which reflect that he does not have the required fear from Allah or love for Allah in his heart, but at the same time he does other deeds which reflect that he does. And we brought the example of the person who used to كان يضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وكان يشرب الخمر ويجلده النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. He used to please the Prophet ﷺ, come maybe to him and tell him something to please him, to make him laugh or smile. And as is explained by the scholars, whenever the word laughing is attributed to the Prophet ﷺ, it means smiling. It doesn't mean the laughing where a person, you know, falls of laughter or becomes so unstable because of how much he is laughing. It means that he used to smile. So this man used to make the Prophet ﷺ smile by certain things that he would say to him. وَكَانَ يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ يَجْلِدُ النَّبِيِّ. And yet he used to drink khamr, alcohol, and the Prophet ﷺ used to flap him for doing that. Used to whip him, as is required for the head of drink alcohol. فَأُتِيَ بِهِ مَرَّةً. So he was brought once before the Prophet ﷺ because he drank alcohol. So one man said, لَعَنَهُ اللَّهُ مَا أَكْثَرَ مَا يُؤْتَى بِهِ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم. May Allah curse him how frequently he is brought to the Prophet ﷺ to be punished for drinking. So the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَلْعَنُهُ فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. He said, do not curse him because he loves Allah and his messenger. So this man, he did things that reflect that he doesn't love Allah and his messenger, because he does not abstain from things that Allah prohibited. قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يَحْبَبْكُمُ اللَّهَ. Say, if you love Allah, follow me, then Allah will love you and forgive your sins. So he did not follow with everything, especially one of these things which is a major sin. But yet the Prophet ﷺ expressed that yet this man has love of Allah and his messenger in his heart. So he had a mixture of both, the love and the opposite of love. And which means that the love of Allah and his messenger was not complete and perfect in his heart. Otherwise that would have pushed him to do more and to abstain from more things that Allah and his messenger has prohibited. Okay, then we discussed, we had a somewhat extensive discussion of truthfulness and the opposite of it, which is lying, and that truthfulness is related to sincerity, and that a person, we discussed the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says, عليكم بالصدق, which means be truthful, or take up truthfulness, because الصدق يهدي إلى البر, صدق guides to bir, righteousness. والبر يهدي إلى الجنة وإن البر يهدي إلى الجنة. And righteousness leads to Jannah. And a man continues to say the truth, or يصدق, he didn't say يقول الصدق, يصدق. A man continues to be truthful and looks, ويتحرى الصدق, looks for truthfulness, which means in his actions, in his words, he tries, he seeks whatever is the truth, he does it or he says it. So yasdiq means he is truthful in his actions. As you see in many places of the Quran, in many ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says about those who do good, who obey Allah and his messenger, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. These are the truthful ones. What does it mean? It means that they never lie. That is part of it, but it also means that their actions are truthful actions, which means their actions confirm what is in their hearts, because that is what truth is. Truth is that you believe in something and you say what you believe. Lying means you say something opposite to what you think is the truth about that thing or the reality. So that's lying by the tongue. Lying by the actions is to do something contrary to what you know that you should be doing. So the believers are the sadiqun in their actions, and a man would be truthful in his actions and in his words, وَيَتَحَرَّ الصِّدْقَ, and he seeks truth or truthfulness until حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا, until he is recorded with Allah as a صديق, as a most truthful person. وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبْ فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبَ يَهْدِيَ الْفُجُورِ, and beware of كَذِبْ, lying. And similarly, lying doesn't mean only lying by words, but it also means lying by actions. So lying guides to fujur, to deviation from the true path, to rebellion, to disobedience. So lying guides to fujur, and fujur guides to the fire. When a person lies in his actions or in his words, that makes him a fajr, a person who is disobedient. Person who is disobedient and rebellious against Allah's commands. And fujur yahdi ila an-nar, wa inna wa la yazalu ar-rajul yakdhib, a man would continue to be a lying one, or to lie, to do lies, as we said, in his actions or in his words, and seeks lying until he is recorded with Allah as a kadhab, as a liar. And again, as I said, in his actions and in his words. We discussed the relationship between sadaq and sincerity, and that they are related, they are intertwined in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَابُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ, which means the believers are only those who believe in Allah and His Messenger, and then they do not have doubt in their heart, and they make jihad, they strive with their wealth and their selves in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those are the truthful ones. Which means it's not enough to say I am Muslim by tongue, like the Arab, the Bedouins, some of the Bedouins who were new Muslims said, we are believers. They said it with their tongue. That's not enough. The truthful ones are those who say it and who act it. So he described the believers, those who believe in Allah and His Messenger in their heart, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَرْتَهُ, and then they do not have any doubt in their heart. So it's a firm, strong belief, وَجَاهَدُ, and then they act on this belief with jihad, with striving. They strive, they sacrifice from their wealth, from themselves, in the way of Allah. Those are the truthful ones. Those are the truthful ones. وَلَٰئِكَ هُمُ الصَّادِقُونَ. So Allah described truthfulness, as we said, just said a little earlier, that it is to act upon the belief that's in the heart, which is sincerity, as you see. I mean, this is, now we're talking about sincerity. When we say a person has sincerity, ikhlas, is doing things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, purely for Allah, which means according to what he believes in his heart to be something that pleases Allah, and not for the sake of people. Similarly, the ayah, للفقراء المهاجرين الذين أخرجوا من ديارهم وأموالهم يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا وينصرون الله ورسوله أولئك هم الصادقون. Seeking, he's talking about the poor muhajirin, migrators, who were driven out from their houses and from their wealth, seeking favor from Allah and His acceptance or pleasure. وينصرون الله ورسوله, and those who give Nasr, who give support to Allah's cause and His Messenger. Those are the truthful ones. So, and And we also discussed the ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, ليس البر أن تولوا وجهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر, etc. Which means righteousness is not to turn your face to the east or west, but righteousness is, and Allah describes many items of Iman and of Islam, of actions of Islam, to believe in Allah and the last day and the angels and the prophet, books and the prophets, and give from the wealth to various types of people who need it and various causes. وَفِي الرِّقَابُ أَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ, and those who establish the prayer and give the zakah, and those who fulfill their covenants when they give a covenant or a promise. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ, and those who are steadfast, patient in the hardship, in بَأْسَاءِ and ضَرَّاءِ, when they are touched by calamities. وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ, and when they are in the fighting. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ الْمُتَّقُونَ, they are, those are the truthful. So Allah described those who do all these things as being the truthful, and as those who have taqwa, who have piety. Contrary to this, المنافق, a munafiq, a hypocrite, is one who is a liar because he does actions contrary to what he has in his heart. He shows that he is good and Muslim and obedient and so on, whereas in his heart he is a disbeliever. His heart is bad, so he is. There is a conflict between his actions and his beliefs. Now notice that there is. If you compare the two, the munafiq and the sinner, they both lie. A sinner is a liar in his actions, and a munafiq is a liar in his actions. But there is a great difference between the two. A munafiq disbelieves in his heart. He hates the belief. He is against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the commands, their commands. And he pretends that to be a Muslim. So there is a difference or a conflict between his belief and his actions. Whereas a sinner, he believes in Allah and his messenger, and he knows that he should be doing certain things, but his actions do not reflect this belief. So he does not, for example, he knows, like in that case, he knows that drinking khamr is haram, but he still drinks. So that's the sinner. And the sinner, it's to Allah Azza wa Jal, إِمَّا يَعْذِبَهُ أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ, whether to punish him or to forgive him, depending on, you know, many factors that only Allah Azza wa Jal knows. But as for the munafiq, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, they are in the lowest abyss in the hellfire. So but both of them have, you know, a certain element of lying. And the hadith that we referred to earlier, when رجل لا يكذب ويتحرى الكذب, a man would lie and seek lying, it could apply to either. إن الكذب يهدي إلى الفجور, lying guides to فجور. فجور means disobedience, and disobedience could be just that the person is a Muslim but he is a sinner in certain matters, or it could be total fujur, which means that a person will be a total munafiq.
Can we say that the sinner, he has the description of a munafiq when he lies? Is that applies?
Or? When he lies with his tongue? You mean the tongue? Yeah.
Because it's one of the
descriptions. But no, it's the opposite still, because he's saying things contrary to what he believes. But the munafiq, he disbelieves at heart.
So
the munafiq would be a person who would say good things, whereas in his heart his heart is rotten. So it's opposite to what he has in his heart. But the liar, he probably knows the truth, but he says something opposite to it. But there is, I mean, as we said, there is an element, a great element of lying. The munafiq is a liar because what he says does not reflect what he believes. But the believer who is lying is different from the munafiq who is lying. That's what I'm saying. And we said that Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah brings the hadith to prove what we have been discussing, that الصدق والتصديق يكون في الأقوال والأعمال. It is in sayings and in actions. So he brought to prove this the hadith that we have discussed before in good depth. كتب على ابن آدم حظه من الزنا فهو مدركه لا محالة, which means it has been recorded for the human being his allotted amount or allocation of zina, and he will reach that no matter what. And then the Prophet ﷺ described the various actions which are considered as actions that lead to zina, like the zina of the eyes look, the ears listen, the hands take actions, the feet take actions, and then the heart, recording or just playing the tape on the first time. وَالْفَرْجُ يُصَدِّقُ ذَلِكَ أَوْ يُكَذِّبُ, which means the private parts of the person, or as we said that al-farj comes from the split in Arabic, which means the split of the clothes. So it is a very polite reference to the private parts. And then, you know, with time it became like it means that, but so when you say farj, it means the private parts, but the original linguistic meaning of it is that from furjat al-thawb. Furjat al-thawb means the opening in the dress or in the clothing, or the split in the clothing. So it's saying that al-farj yusaddiqu dhalika, it confirms that, it confirms all that, all those other actions, acts of zina, by what? By it confirms that or denies it. أو يكذبه. So that means that this action is called tasdiq, the actions of the which is a body action. And then he, you know, discusses a little more about صدق, and that how it is people use it to mean acting by truthfulness. And then he discusses sincerity, and he relates it to صدق or to truthfulness. He explains that the shahada is the top of Islam, or the peak of Islam, Ra'sul Islam, the Shahada. It is an indication of sincerity of and truthfulness with the tongue and with the heart. So after all of this, which was, as I said, like an introduction, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, وَهَذَا الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ مَّا يُبَيِّنُ أَنَّ أَصْلَ الدِّينِ فِي الْحَقِيقَةِ هُوَ الْأُمُورُ الْبَاطِنَةُ مِنَ الْعُلُومِ وَالْأَعْمَالِ وَأَنَّ الْأَعْمَالَ الظَّاهِرَةِ لَا تَنْفَعُ بِدُونِهَا. So he says, what we have mentioned, this is this thing that we have mentioned. These things that we have mentioned earlier indicate that the foundation of the deen in reality is al-umur al-batina, the things which are batina, hidden or internal or interior to the person, which means in his heart, the deeds of the heart, min al-ulumi wal-amal, of the knowledge and action, wa anna al-amal al-zahira la tanfa biduna, and that the apparent actions are useless without them, are useless without the deeds of the heart. As the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Musnad Ahmad, Al-Islamu alaniya wal-imanu fil qalb. Islam is apparent and iman is in the heart. And also he refers to the hadith, Ala wa inna fil jasadi mudgha, Iza saluhat saluha al-jasadu kullu, أو صلح لها سائر الجسد, وإذا فسدت فسد لها سائر الجسد ألا وهي القلب. Which means there is a piece of flesh in the body, if it is good, the whole body is good. If it is bad, the whole body is bad. And in this relationship, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu described that the heart is like a king, and the limbs are the soldiers of this king. So if he is good, if the heart is good, which means if the king is good, then he will give good commands to the soldiers, and they will go and do good things, like fight the kuffar, like help the needy, help the weak people, and so on, stop crime, and so on. That's if the king is good. And similarly, if the heart is good, he will command the body to do good actions that will be the visible, say, reflection of what is hidden in the heart. Whereas if the king is evil, he will go and tell his people, his soldiers, go and kill these, steal the money of this, like Pharaoh, kill their children and keep their women, and we are going to oppress them, وَأَنَّ فَوْقَهُمْ قَاهِرُونَ, etc. So this is if the king is oppressor, he will make the fahsha, the evil and the sinning, spread among people. He wouldn't care about that, rather he would encourage it. Whereas if the this king's thoughts and ideas are reflected by the actions of his soldiers, and as the Prophet, as Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the people of Fir'aun, that فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُ فَأَطَاعُهُ, he took his people lightly, which means he did not capitalize much on their better thinking, which means he did not expect them to be obedient and fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to listen to the guidance that Musa came with. فَأَطَاعُهُ, and by giving them these weird advice, like يَا قَوْمِ أَلَيْسَ لِي مُلْكُ مِصْرَ وَهَذِهِ الْأَنْهَارُ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِي أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ أَمَنَ خَيْرٌ مِنْ هَذَا الَّذِي هُوَ مَهِينٌ وَلَا يَكَادُ يُبِينُ, which means don't I have the possession, the ownership of Egypt, and these rivers are flowing under me, so am I not better than this which is not visible? Am I not better than this lowly one who can barely express himself? So فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمًا فَأَطَاعُهُ, so his people followed him in that. So the king was bad, and the people were reflected his evil by their action. So Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed him, and فَأَخَذْنَاهُ وَجُنُودَهُ فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ فِي الْيَمِّ, so we took him and his soldiers, and we threw them. نَبَذْنَاهُمْ, يعني Allah Azza wa Jalla here uses a humiliating word even for killing them. He did not. He says فَنَبَذْنَاهُمْ, like when you eat a date and then cast the pit away from you. نَبَذْنَاهُمْ, so he says we casted them into the sea. So in a like you cast something which you do not want to keep it with you. So Allah Azza wa Jal does not want to do anything with them. He and his people, one the king and his soldiers, were bad. So this description of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is very beautiful, about how the heart is the king, and then he commands the limbs, and the limbs act upon his commands. So that is why the deeds of the heart are the basis for the deeds of the body, of the limbs. So whatever is visible should have a good basis in the heart to be good in itself. And then he says, وهذه الأعمال الباطنة كمحبة الله والإخلاص له والتوكل عليه والرضا ونحو ذلك كلها أمور مأمور بها في حق الخاصة والعامة لا يكون تركها محمودا في حال أحد وإن ارتقى مقامه. He says these deeds of the heart, أعمال الباطنة, like loving Allah, like sincerity to Him, like relying on Him, like being pleased with what He does to us, وَالرِّضَى عَنْهُ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ and so on. All of these مَأْمُورٌ بِهَا, they are commanded, we are commanded with these things, which means we are commanded to do them, to fulfill them, فِي حَقِّ الْخَاصَّةِ وَالْعَامَةِ. This applies to the common people as well as to the select people. So one cannot say that I am from the khasa, I am from the knowledgeable people, from the upper class of knowledge or of righteousness, therefore I do not have to fulfill this. No, it is a command for all of the people, and لا يكون تركها محمودا في حال أحد. Dropping them or not fulfilling them is not praiseworthy in any situation for anyone. وَأَنْ ارْتَقَى مَقَامًا, even if he rises in his level, and of course rising in his level, he means his level among the people, in his level of respect among the people, by people respecting him as being a knowledgeable person or a righteous person or a rich person and so on. Even if he rises among the people in these levels, he does not rise in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can rise before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unless he fulfills these to the total, completely. And as we discussed earlier, the more that a person does of this, of the recommended parts of this, the higher that he rises and the closer that he gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to becoming of the awliya of Allah azza wa jal. Then he discussed quickly al-huzn, sadness, and indicated that sadness is not one of the deeds, one of the praiseworthy deeds of the heart. So we cannot say that, I feel sad, therefore I'm expecting a reward from Allah Azza wa Jal for my sadness. And sadness, not in the English sense. We are talking about al-huzn in itself, the word huzn, and we will explain by some examples what it means, because one could look at the situation of Muslims or see somebody who is very needy, like when the Prophet ﷺ saw the people from Mudar, فَتَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ, which means his face expressed sadness because he saw how poor some of the Muslims are. So his sadness was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we're not talking about this sadness. This type of sadness is praiseworthy, is good, because one that did something for Allah, he became angry or sad for Allah's sake. But sadness that is referred to means a sadness which carries an element of despair, of which means mistrust. One would be mistrusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His promises. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ, which means وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, do not lose heart, do not despair, and you, because you are the highest, the uppermost, if you are believers. So this is the meaning of huzn here. And he says, وَلَا تَحْزَنْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ, do not feel sad because of what they are doing, and do not feel uptight because of what they are plotting against you, which means let not that cause you any problems or any displeasure in your heart, because remember that Allah Azza wa Jal is protecting you and supporting you. And وَقَوْلُهُ إِذْ يَقُولِ صَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, when he told his companion, that is when they were in the cave, he and Abu Bakr radiallahu an, when he told him, لَا تَحْزَنْ, do not lose heart, or do not be afraid, do not have huzn, because Allah is with us. So trust Allah Azza wa Jal, have the trust in Allah. So huzn here, as I said, means contrary to trust. وَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ لِكَيْ لَتَأْسَوْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُ بِمَا آتَاكُمْ. The same here, asa means the same as huzn. He says why Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah says وَذَلِكَ لِأَنَّهُ لَا يَجْلِبُ مَنْفَعَهُ وَلَا يَدْفَعُ مَضَرَّ فَلَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهِ. Because this kind of sadness, it doesn't bring manfa'ah benefit, and neither does it stop a harm from reaching a person. وَمَا لَا فَائِدَةَ فِيهِ لَا يَأْمُرُ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And that which does not benefit, Allah would not command us to do it. نعم لا يأثم صاحبه إذا لم يقترن بحزنه محرم. Yes, though he says yet, the one who has this sadness in his heart does not commit a sin, would not be considered a sinner, if his huzn, his sadness, is not associated with something prohibited. Like when the Prophet ﷺ said, إن الله لا يؤاخذ على دمع العين ولا على حزن القلب, which means Allah does not punish or you know, consider as being bad when the eye tears or sheds the tears, ولا على حزن القلب, neither when the heart is sad, ولكن يؤاخذ على هذا أو يرحم وإشار بيده ولسانه. But he takes or considers this and or forgives it, and he pointed to his tongue, which means if one, in the case of distress and calamity, if a person sheds tears or if his heart feels sadness, then Allah would not punish him for that, or this will not be considered as a sin for him. But if he say things based on this sadness, say things against Allah, like what some people in their funeral they say, or in their calamity they say, oh Allah, why did you do this? Why? What did I deserve so that you did this to me? Or what did he deserve to take? Or why did you take him when he's so young? Or why, you never give me what I ask you for, whereas such people who are much less worthy than me, you give them so much wealth and so on and so forth. So when a person becomes rebellious against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is when he is taken by it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means he is punished for it. وَلَكِنْ يُؤَخِذُ عَلَى هَذَا أَوْ يَرْحَمُ وَأَشَارَ بِيَدِهِ لِسَانِهِ. He pointed to his tongue. And he says when his eyes shed tears, he said تَدْمَعُ الْعَيْنِ وَيَحْزَنُ الْقَلْبِ وَلَا نَقُلْ إِلَّا مَا يُرْضِ اللَّهِ وَإِنَّ عَلَى فِرَاقِكَ يَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ لَمَحْزُونٌ. He said, the heart feels the sadness, but we do not say except what pleases Allah, and yet we are unhappy or displeased or sad because we are departing with you, O Ibrahim. He said it when he lost his son Ibrahim. And like Yaqub said, وتولى عنهم وقال يا أسف على يوسف وبيضت عيناه من الحزن فهو كظيم. So he turned from them. He said, I feel so sorry for losing Yusuf, and his eyes became white of huzn, of sadness. So he became blind. So you see that there are, the word huzn or sadness of the heart could be of three levels then. It will be the level where a person cannot resist it or cannot stop it, but he does not say, like in the case of disasters, but he does not say anything to displease Allah Azza wa Jal based on that huzn. And it could be something that a person does it as a kind of mistrust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is totally prohibited. And it could be something that would be rewarded, as I explained earlier, the types of huzn that I explained earlier, like you feel sad for the sake of some people or some Muslims. كَالْحَزِينُ عَلَى مُصِيبَةٍ فِي دِينِهِ وَعَلَى مُصَائِبِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ عُمُومًا. Like the one who is sad because of a musibah, a disaster that happened to him in his deen, and for the masa'ib, for the disasters of the Muslims in general. However, even that kind of huzn, إذا أفضى إلى ترك مأمور من الصبر والجهاد وجلب منفعة ودفع مضرة نهي عنه. So even that, if it leads to dropping something, an obligation, like being patient or making jihad in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, or doing something of benefit for the person, or stopping some evil from reaching him, like a person saying, I am very sad, he sits there and he sees, for example, a snake coming towards him, and he says, I don't care, I lost hope in this life, so I don't care. And the snake comes to him and bites him. He does not try to go stop it or move from it or something like that, and using his sadness as an excuse. This is not permissible and acceptable. Or that he says, I am sad, I'm not going to work to support my family anymore. I feel so. This becomes like the despair that I said earlier, that a person mistrusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His promises when it gets to this point. So if it doesn't get to this point, then it could be praiseworthy that the person is sad for the affairs of Muslim and the calamity that are reaching them. أما إن أفضى إلى ضعف القلب واشتغاله به عن فعل ما أمر الله ورسوله به كان مذموما عليه من تلك الجهة. I don't think we covered this before, so this part we went into the new part now, all of this about huzn. أما إن أفضى إلى ضعف القلب واشتغاله عن فعل ما أمر الله ورسوله به كان مذموما عليه من تلك الجهة. So if it leads to the weakness of the heart, that the heart becomes weak, which means the person becomes despairing, واشتغاله به عن فعل ما أمر الله ورسوله به, and that the person becomes too preoccupied with his sadness over doing what he was commanded to do, he's commanded by Allah and His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, then it becomes blameworthy because of that, even though it could have been praiseworthy because of another reason, which is what we described earlier. Now he says, وَأَمَّا الْمَحَبَّةُ لِلَّهِ وَالتَّوَكُّلُ عَلَيْهِ وَالْإِخْلَاصُ لَهِ وَنَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فَهَذِهِ كُلُّهَا خَيْرٌ مَحْضٌ وَهِيَ حَسَنَةٌ مَحْبُوبَةٌ فِي حَقِّ كُلِّ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. ومن قال أن هذه المقامات تكون للعامة دون الخاصة فقد غلط في ذلك. إن أراد خروج الخاصة عنها فإن هذه لا يخرج عنها مؤمن قط وإنما يخرج عنها كافر أو منافق. He says, as for loving Allah, relying on Him, being sincere to Him, and other similar actions of the heart, then these are purely good. خير محض وهي, or absolute goodness. And they are always good and beloved to Allah in the case of every person, whether a prophet or a siddiq or a shaheed, martyr, or a pious and righteous person. And whoever says that these levels, which means having these things, believing in these things in the heart, that these levels are only for the common people but not for the select group of people, then he is indeed mistaken if he tries to remove the khassa from that, because no believer ever will not be yakhruj anha, which means not be that these will not be that they cannot be inapplicable to a believer. Okay, and only a kafir or a munafiq would be one to whom they do not apply. And some people have, some of the Sufi related sayings say that certain people rise to a certain level, they come so close to Allah Azza wa Jal, that many requirements and obligations become unnecessary and drop in their case. So he says, قَدْ تَكَلَّمَ بَعْضٌ فِي ذَلِكَ بِكَلَامٍ بَيَّنَّ غَلَطَهُمْ فِيهِ. Some of them, some people that is, have said some words in that regard in which we have explained their mistakes in it. وَأَنَّهُ تَقْصِيرٌ فِي تَحْقِيقِ هَذِهِ الْمَقَامَاتِ بِكَلَامٍ مَبْسُوطٍ. We have explained this in details in somewhere, some other place. Then he says that these levels, that is the level of having the belief in the heart or the actions of the heart regarding loving Allah, relying on Him, and so on. هذه المقامات ينقسم الناس فيها إلى خصوص وعموم. Which means people in regard to these levels, they are the general and the more special or specific. فللخاصة خاصها وللعامة عامها. So for the khasa or for the special people, they apply to them these things in a special way, and for the common people or the general people in a general way. مثل ذلك أن هؤلاء قالوا إن التوكل مناضلة عن النفس في طلب القوت والخاص لا يناضل عن نفسه. وقالوا المتوكل يطلب بتوكله أمرا من الأمور والعارف شاهد الأمور مفروغا منها فلا يطلب شيئا. Now look here, as I said before on some various occasions, that you know Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, when he brings some of the expressions that were common in his time and that come from the Sufi dogmas or Sufi way of saying things, then these are of different levels. Maybe you can say three different types. One of them that he shows that they are totally unacceptable and contradictory to Islam, and he explained that. And one of them is that he shows that he uses like common words, that like any other expression that he uses, and this is true also about his student Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah, because they have become so common in their time that they are, you know, used in an acceptable sense, even though it is better, especially, you know, from what we learned from them and other scholars after them, to stay away from them, because there are some other terms that can express the same thing. And there are other expressions and sayings which he explains that they could carry, and they do carry sometimes, a good meaning that people sometimes misinterpret it or misunderstand it. And and this is an example of this. So he says, some people say, إن التوكل مناضلة عن النفس في طلب القوت والخاص لا يناضل عن نفسه. Here the person who's writing the commentary on this book, he says, اختلف العلماء في تعريف التوكل. The scholars differ about defining tawakkul, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So some of them say, إِنَّ عَلَامَةَ التَّوَكُّلِ ثَلَاثِ لَا يَسْأَلُ وَلَا يَرُدُّ وَلَا يَحْبِسُ. That to the indication that a person has true relying on Allah is that he does not ask, which means he does not ask anybody for anything. وَلَا يَرُدُّ, and he does not prevent anybody from taking anything that he wants to take. وَلَا يَحْبِسُ, and he does not keep anything for himself. That is, you know, like the ultimate tawakkul, which means he totally puts his full ultimate trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وقيل التوكل هو الاعتصام بالله تعالى. And he's, it is said also that tawakkul is to depend on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وشرط التوكل هو طرح البدن في العبودية وتعلق القلب بالربوبية والطمأنينة إلى الكفاية فإن أعطي شكر وإن منع صبر. He says the condition of tawakkul is to like submerge the body or drop the body into ubudiyyah, which means that the body will be totally submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وتعلق القلب بالربوبية, and that the heart would be attached to the rububiyyah, which means the heart will be totally aware of Allah being the Lord, the one in charge, the one who's the sustainer, the one who gives and takes, the one who gives life and death, the one who does not miss anything in the world, the one who accepts the dua, and so on and so forth. So he is aware of the, fully aware, the heart is fully aware of the rububiyyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالطُمَأْنِينَةُ إِلَى الْكِفَايَةِ, and that the person would feel secure about attaining or being given what is sufficient for him in this life. فَنَعْطِيَ شَكَرٌ, so if he is given, which means if Allah gives him in plenty, he is thankful. Thankful by his by words, by actions, and so on. When money asaba, and if he is not given, he is patient. He does not become rebellious and against Allah Azza wa Jal for not giving him. So he says here, إن التوكل مناضلة عن النفس في طلب القوت والخاص لا يناضل عن نفسه. They say, some people say that tawakkul is to strive. مُنَاضَلَةٌ عَلَى النَّفْسِ فِي طَلَبِ الْقُوتِ, which means strive against the nafs, which means the one's self, in seeking the sustenance